set of the table that we are having communion, Lord's Supper, following this message. Pastor will come and lead us in that. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Four simple words, yet they are some of the greatest words ever uttered. A ransom for many. These four words contain the heart of the gospel. These four words tell us about the cross of Jesus Christ and the atonement that he made. They describe the love and the power of God's Son who gave his life for the redemption of you and I. They have to do with our salvation and our destiny for all of eternity, a ransom for many. Let's look at the need for the ransom. The message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation has to do with the need for the ransom of the lost mankind. We're going to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 for the first reference. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And it shows to us God's power to cleanse. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's power to cleanse. And then in chapter 53 of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, having to do with the vicarious sacrifice of Christ as Jehovah's servant, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, a ransom for many. Our sin was put on Jesus. And then chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. However, the wicked person must acknowledge to God that he is wicked, and he must confess to God, which is more than just acknowledging. Confessing is that he will agree with what God says about his condition. Nothing being held back. Now we're all familiar with Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. You say, I'm not familiar with it. That's why I'm going to read it. It's a debt to be paid, for the wages of sin is death. That is the end result of our sin. Well, I've never murdered anybody. You know, murder is a sin, but it isn't the only sin.
That's right.
Well, I've never robbed a bank. Well, I'm glad for you, but it isn't the only sin. The wages of sin is death. Death meaning separation from an eternal God. But the gift of God is eternal life. What you get what you earn for your sin is death, separation from God. You see, when you die, your soul, spirit, is separated from your body. Here, when it says the wages of sin is death, we are separated from God Almighty. The Bible teaches us that there is a need for a ransom. The nature of this ransom is also important to understand. Turning to Psalm, the book of Psalm, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I'm going to read in Psalm 51, verse 1 to 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Wash me, thoroughly cleanse me. We try to get away from our sin. We try to remove the thought of it, the guilt of it. We try to deal with it, but none of it works. But God will blot it out. God will wash you thoroughly from mine iniquity. Jesus came and he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The key word there today is giveth. The nature of this ransom is that he gave his life. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, we read, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life. When he came to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a gospel song that was very popular several years ago. It's still around. And that is, there's a line in it that said, God searched through heaven and he found Jesus. No, he didn't. He didn't search through heaven. That so humanizes the whole explanation about this matter of salvation. God the Father and God the Son were in complete agreement regarding the need for a price to be paid for sin. And God the Father did not have to search through heaven and, oh, hey, there's my son Jesus. Let's use him. No. What a blasphemy. Oh, but it's got a nice tune, okay? Catchy tune. And there's some other words in the song that are good. I haven't heard it for quite a while, and my life isn't any worse because of it, okay? The ransom price was not silver or gold. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. First Peter in the New Testament, way back toward the end of the New Testament. Once you come to Hebrews, there's quite a few pages of Hebrews. Then you come to James. There's only a few pages of James. Then you're at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Peter is speaking here and he says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. It's not by silver and gold. Listen, God, the Holy Spirit, inspired Peter. God put into Peter the words that he wanted him to record, and he recorded them, and he tells us that we are not redeemed with silver and gold. But, verse 19, here's what we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb, just like a lamb in the Old Testament sacrifices was given, a pure lamb, a spotless lamb, so Jesus Christ was given by the Father as a lamb. He was our sacrifice lamb, without blemish and without spot. Yes, the blood of Christ has paid the price for our sins. When we take the bread, we remember the body of Jesus that was nailed to the cross. When we take the juice, we remember the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. Only one sacrifice is acceptable. And there is not a matter of different ways. You hear people say, well, that's your way to get to heaven. But you know, the Muslims have another way, and the Hindus, they have yet their own way. And everybody has their own way, but all roads meet in heaven. No, they don't.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, my friend, if you will read the Bible, okay, you'll find that there is but one way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
It's all through Jesus. I'm also going to turn to 1 Timothy back in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, and if you're not sure where Timothy's at, you can just listen while I read it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write this letter to a young man named Timothy. He was one of Paul's helpers and workers. He was a young pastor, we'd say today. All right, now, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's one mediator. There's only one person who can be a go-between between you and God. And that's Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because verse 6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ is the ransom. It was paid to him. A ransom price was paid, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we saw the need of a ransom. We looked at some at the nature of a ransom. I want to look at the results of the ransom. A ransom is to buy freedom, okay? The ransom is to buy freedom, to deliver, to set free is what we could consider ransom. Excellent illustration, kidnapping. When a person is kidnapped, the kidnappers, what do? They will write a ransom note. And they tell, if it's a case of a child, or if it's an adult, it'll be to a spouse perhaps, but the note will say, if you want so-and-so freed, you must pay this price. Isn't that right? Yeah. A ransom price. Jesus paid it all. He paid the ransom price. And he, therefore, is able to free us. He gave a ransom for all. Now, in the Gospel of John, in the fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. I have the wrong. Oh, it's not John, it's Romans. Now, how in the world you look at Romans on your notes and see John is beyond me. All right, Romans chapter 6. I bet you this will look better. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Yeah, this looks a lot better. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, teaching, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You say, how in the world can I stop doing the things that I'm doing? I don't want to do them. I put forth great effort to stop these things, thinking the way I do. Some of the things that I, in privacy, I'd never do it in front of people at church. I don't do it in front of my parents. I don't do it in front of my husband or wife. But how do I stop it? He tells us here in Romans chapter 6 that God is to be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Ha-ha. There it is. You need to obey in your heart the teaching that was given to you. That's verse 17. Being then made free. You obey the teaching that is given to you, which is to repent, to confess, which means to agree with what God says about your sin, not to try and excuse it, not to say that it's not as bad as some, or I'm doing better than I was doing. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't even compare yourself with yourself. You need to compare yourself with what God says. And verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. God will make you free from sin. And then you're no longer the servant of sin. You're no longer servant of that thing that plagues you. Now you're the servant of righteousness, of good things. Freedom from doom, freedom from punishment, free from the sin of slavery and destruction. An author, in describing two mountain climbers, and I quote, it says that the two almost exhausted men crept up the steep, wind-scoured slope of snow and reached a small, level place where they rested. And there they saw that there was nowhere higher to go. They had reached the top. When the lost, sin, hell-deserving sinner comes to Jesus Christ, they have reached the top. There is nowhere else to go. You can't go any higher than Jesus Christ. Yes. In man's search for peace and happiness, freedom, eternal life, there is nowhere higher to look than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we stand with him on the summit of Mount Calvary, experiencing his forgiveness and love as our Savior and Lord, we know there is nowhere higher to go. There is no price greater that could be paid than the price of what he paid on the cross of Calvary. And as we commune today, remember, he paid your ransom. I have a Christian friend who was director of Good Shepherd Baptist Mission for many years. And back when he was the director, when he would pray, he often concluded his prayers with, Lord, we come to you because there is no greater name in heaven or earth that we can come to than your name. I find myself having been influenced by him and realizing that that many times well describes what I've expressed in prayer. My friend, there is no greater name There is no higher way than the way that Jesus Christ gives. You remember that when we commune today. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and you refrain from communing as those elements are passed by you, as you see others participate who have accepted Christ as Savior, you remember this. There's no higher way. There's no greater way. And it's a way that's open to you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, thank you for your love and your grace, all of your goodness to us. We are not deserving, but you have shown us mercy.